Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast. We are back after a mere month hiatus, but we're here. We're always here. Right, let's get some of... Well, first of all, interesting guys, it's been that long, I forgot what we do. Dory, Dom, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Tom?
I'm good, Peter, how are you?
Not too bad. See, that's how rusty it's been. Right, first of all, what we'll do is go through a bit of housekeeping first, then we'll go over and talk about the fantasy football. So, first of all, the Fantasy Football Scotland Royalty Rumble is coming to a close. There is two game weeks left. Mel Vigneau is out on top, but I believe it's still close enough that he could be caught, so... There's four managers, I think, left, so I'll keep you updated on that. Also, as you know, the last cup of the season is the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup, which normally starts around about this time, but due to work commitments, holiday commitments, and basically losing track of game weeks, it will be starting right after the split, which is game week 34, because game week 33, I won't be here. So it's home to only 32 managers, and 32 managers only. That's how it works for the final game. So obviously, there's three of us here, at least 29 managers, so it's open. I'll wait to see how much response you get for listeners. Once the 32 is complete, that is it shut, because I'm on holiday one of the weeks and I am going to struggle to keep the top any more than that. So that's just game week 34, 32 managers max, and that is it. So we'll go to our top three first in our league. I already mentioned him. It is number one is Mel Vigneau. Another good game week. He's up to first. He gets 2-1-2-2 overall. Second is Kevin Fish, Alleviated Tedium. He's 2-1-0-2. And third is Scott Prev Fantasy, David Crichton, 2-0-9-3. So some of the heavy hitters in the community, the top three in the league. So it's been a while back, but I'm just going to quickly go through our rank and points for the last game week, and then we'll go on to the fixtures ahead. So I don't know if you're prepared for this. Will I go first? Have you got it in front of you?
No, I've got mine.
Oh, excellent.
I'll kick off because I'm last. So the last game week was the one where Rangers didn't play. So Captain Tav for myself went out the window, but I still got a respectable 72 points and bringing in a few Hibs players to make up the numbers. So we had Wickens in goals for 5. I had my non-playing player for 0. Fish for 8. Devlin for 3. McGrath for 4. McCondes 5. Armstrong 11. O'Reilly 6. Molida, the Hibs centre forward, was subsequently my vice captain, changed to captain. He got 28 points. Shankland 1, Ida 1. So that was 72. My global score, I think, is 1892. I've maybe not updated that, so don't quote me. The last time we spoke, I was 339. I've up 74 places to 265. So looking good to break the 200, which I think is my ultimate goal, given where I've been recently.
Yeah, Tom, your scoring rank?
I got 43 points last game week, and an overall rank of 53rd. Points consisted of Marshall in goals for 1, Cochran 1, Limbisca 1, Devlin 3. In midfield, I had McCondes for 5, O'Reilly for 6, McCowan for 8, and Bernardo for 3. And then up front, I had Shankland for 1, Dessers nothing, and Captain Bajowski 14. And I missed out on 5 points from Wickens on my bench, the Ross County goalkeeper.
Okay, and I had a good game week, even though I triggered the bench boost, took a -8 for the bench boost. Rangers Dundee game cancelled, Beck injured. So basically I got 3 points off the bench, that's what it worked out to be. But can't complain. Got 91 points, so DK minus 8 is 83. I did a quick check before I come on. It was the third highest score in the top 100, so I can't complain too much, but the bench was wasted, and it was Wickens 5 points, Obita 16, Gent 1, 33, McGrath 4, Captain McCondis 10, Armstrong 11, O'Reilly 6, Vice-Captain Malida 24, Shankland 1, and Majowski 7, and like I said, Miller off the bench for 3 points. Could have been more because he got a goal cut off. I don't want to talk about fixtures, but it was kind of a soft goal. But I said my aim was top 50. I've done it in 1 week, so I suppose I've got to try aim for top 40, and that's what we've got to look up. So we will now go... We're not going to cover the fixtures this week because it was so long ago. We're just going to go through like the league in order. Tom's going to take us away, and me and Donnie will chime in with stuff as we go along. So, Tom, on you go.
Yep. So I thought I'd start from the bottom and just kind of get the teams that were probably not that interesting out of the way, and then leaves us to discuss the more pressing matters. So coming in at number 12, we've got Livingston at the bottom of the table. Their next three fixtures before the split are Celtic, Aberdeen and Hearts. So tricky three there. For me, I'd say Livingston still in a void. They don't have any consistent players who are returning points each game week. Any goals are kind of spread out amongst the squad. Their defence, not great. Clean sheets seem to be occasional. There perhaps could be options at the end of the season, maybe once reality starts to set in and they're fighting to stay up. But I don't know if that's kicked in yet, going by kind of recent form. So an avoid for now, but a team perhaps to keep an eye on. Would you reckon, Daniel, you first on Livingston? Anything to add to that?
Sorry, you broke up there. Were you speaking to me?
Yeah.
You broke up. No, you've said pretty much what I think we're both going to say with regards to Livingston. It's not a team you can trust. They have started to score goals, which was probably one of their weakest areas, but I don't think it's enough to save them. I think for the Celtic game and the Hearts game in particular, you can actually target Livingston in terms of getting beat. They'll want to take something off of the teams around them, so likes of Aberdeen, Ross County, St Johnston. They'll, you know, that's where they need to look to get their points, but they've been disappointing all season. A team that has in the past been quite good value for fantasy football, even bottom six, I don't think I will look at them. Peter?
Yep, agreed. Like I said last time, I was target Livingston now, so that's pretty much what I'm going to do week on, week out. They look like a team that looks like they know they're relegated. I think that's in 10 points adrift, so it's going to take a miracle for me to get anything like that, so I just don't see it. I think Martindale's worked wonders there with a budget that's every year gets smaller and smaller, and I think this year's just been the year too far. They're going to go down. I'm not miss the pitch, mind you, but as Donnie said, they've been good fantasy-wise, so we probably have a different team next year, so maybe something to look forward to, but it's a hard avoid. They've lost... We talked about one of the better players, Penn Rice. He's going to Hearts. So, again, I don't see it. Even in the split, I think I'm avoiding him completely.
Yep. Next in, coming at 11th, we've got Ross County. They are facing Aberdeen, Kilmarnock and Rangers. So, depending on how you view Aberdeen and Kilmarnock, not the best run of fixtures there. But they do have some decent scoring form. I think you could make an argument for Simon Murray, who has 2 goals and 3 assists in the last 5 game weeks. And perhaps Wickens as well, the goalkeeper. He's still pretty cheap at 2.3 million. He's decent at back, at least. And there's the option of, there's the possibility of save points there as well. So for anyone on a wild card, it doesn't take up too much budget. And you could have a playing second goalkeeper that you can rotate with rather than just having the one main keeper and then a non-playing backup. What's your thoughts on Ross County, Peter?
Pretty much what you say. I think they've been in a wee bit of form recently. They've done well in that double. They beat Hearts and they beat Hearts 2-1. So they've kind of shown signs of life. Simon Murray looks good up front, cheap option. I've got Wickens and Efty at the back. That was because it was cheap players who were playing. And I think I will just keep them for bench trick and goalkeeper because not a lot of budget in them. They're pretty plain every week. And nowhere else. I might mention players going. Danda's going to Hearts next year, so there's another player that we're going. We talk about quite a lot. I think he looks good in the eyes, but Flatter's good to see point wise for FPL, for Fantasy Scotland. Murray's a good shooter up front if you're differential. I do have that feeling, think, though, that you might have missed the boat now that he's done all this already, but he's what to watch if you want to be trying to differential after the split. But apart from that, I wouldn't go elsewhere. I'd be using these players for bench trick players or for cheap options to enable elsewhere, but that's about it.
Yep. Donny, anything to add to Ross County?
No, not really. The Aberdeen game at the weekend's a big one. That's your typical six-pointer. The winner of that will obviously create a gap between themselves and the bottom of the table. But again, the bottom six teams and the bottom of the bottom, they very rarely tend to do other than, you know, stay where they are. I've not seen a team in the last few seasons who've managed to climb out when it comes to the split. So for that reason, if you are going to invest in Ross County, then you avoid St Johnstone, Livingston. You know, you're probably only going to target one of the teams from a defensive area. I've got Wickens and goals, which I won't change. That's enough for me. There's no other areas of the pitch that are better than what's already out there. So I think Ross County will finish second bottom. And depending who they get, if they get like a Dundee United, they could struggle to keep their place in the league. But yeah, from a fantasy point of view, there's just nothing there really.
Yep, agreed. Coming in at 10th then, we've got St Johnstone. For me, just an avoid. No consistent scorers, no consistent clean sheets. Their fixtures are Dundee, Hibs and Kilmarnock, but I kind of feel regardless of who they were playing, it's difficult to pick any sort of players out of that team for fantasy returns. Donny, St Johnstone, anything?
No, St Johnstone, see Ross County, see Livingston, it's all the same. They're bottom of the league for a reason. They tend to get beat heavily when they're playing the top clubs. When they're playing the clubs around them, there's nothing there that'll excite me, because you've got to imagine Rangers and Celtic will have good fixtures and, you know, be looking to score goals. So there's nothing at all in any of these teams so far that, you know, I'd be looking at when I'm building a team for the final stretch of the season.
Peter, I'm assuming the same from you.
Yep, agreed. It's C above what we mentioned before, the previous two teams. Only maybe after the split, if you do fancy them over other two teams for safety, if you get a hunch, you look for cheap enablers to fill your bench to facilitate elsewhere. Otherwise, it's a void. I can't even think of one St John's player off my head who sticks out as a good asset. I've said, is it me, Todd, the goalkeeper for St Johnson?
I would have said him
before, but then Wickens became available for cheaper. So to me, there's not one player I'd kind of really focus on right now.
Yep. Starting to get a bit more interesting now then. Number nine, we've got Aberdeen, who are going to face Ross County, Livingston and Dundee. So a decent run of fixtures. However, form isn't on their side. They've not been great. Obviously, Warnock came in to steady the ship and there was no kind of new manager bounce there, which kind of makes me think, is there going to be any sort of catalyst going forward that could see them hit some form? We know they've got decent players that are all capable of doing well, but they don't have a chance of finishing in the top half. They're still close to the relegation playoff position, so the game against Ross County, they could be motivated in that one to kind of distance themselves from the danger zone. And again, you could argue fixtures are good, but they recently got beat 1-0 from Dundee, so I don't know. If going for Aberdeen, then it's obviously Miovsky, Devlin, McGrath or Clarkson that you could consider, but I don't know. It's a bit of a coin toss for me. I think they're a bit of an unknown entity just now in terms of how things are going to go going forward. I'll come to you first on this one, Peter. What's your thoughts on Aberdeen?
They're struggling, but I think the squad should be enough to keep them up. I have two Aberdeen players this week. I'll probably win next week. Now, they haven't announced a manager yet, but I think that's going to be coming imminently. Week or two, is that right? They could be an option post-split, if I've got a new manager in place, depending on who it is. But apart from names mentioned, I mean, even name names, I'm not really confident in keeping Miosky anymore or keeping... I've got McGrath with both. But again, they're just too hit and miss. There's no steady form. I just do think the fact they've got decent quality in their squad will be enough to keep them away from the relegation against the three teams we previously mentioned. But there's nothing there that's going to cry out, jump on these players, to be quite honest.
Donny, anything to add there? What's your thoughts?
No, I mean, Aberdeen are a team not to be trusted, and I think that's the pitfall that I certainly made probably since New Year. They had a lot of games in hand with the way the fixtures planned out, and we doubled and trebled, and Miowski forgot how to score, the defence forgot how to keep clean sheets, and for me, I just don't think you can trust them. Mathematically, they can still make the top six, but I think Hibs just need a point, and that's them done. So I think they do have to settle for their position. I think they've got enough in the bag to avoid a relegation fight, although Ross County winning the weekend would make it a bit more tasty, but the form has just been poor all season. I think a lot of us are stuck with the same players, like Devlin, McGrath. I've came off Miowski a few weeks ago, but those are the names that, you know, are probably going to bring Aberdeen back to life, but they'll want to get to the end of the season. They'll want to get a new manager on board and get the League Cup games and sort of start afresh. But it's just the same old cycle for Aberdeen. They had one good season last season and they've failed to turn up this season. So one to forget for the Aberdeen fans.
Mm-hmm. That was quite kind of you, though, there, actually, Harding. You were quite restrained there.
I know. Well, to be fair, I have taken 4 points off Rangers, so I don't want to give them too much credit.
Coming in at eighth, then, we've got Motherwell. They'll face St Mirren, Dundee and Hibs. For me, I think Motherwell defence is one to avoid. They're not really one for keeping clean sheets, and there's not really many defenders chipping in with attacking returns. However, attacking-wise, their form has been great recently, excluding, obviously, the recent 1-0 loss to Aberdeen at home. Looking at the attack, it's obviously Theo Bear and Spittle who are the most consistent. You could also consider, perhaps, Jack Vale, 3.8 million striker. He's been chipping in recently, but I'd much prefer Bear, given his more sort of consistent returns over a longer period of time. They do have a decent run to the split as well. They could be battling with Hibs to finish in the top half in game week 33, which kind of keeps them motivated for the time being. I think they're perhaps a less attractive option if they finish in the top half. However, they did manage to score against Celtic and they beat Rangers 2-1 at Ibrox, so still a team to be taken seriously for me. Peter, what's your thoughts on Motherwell?
You mentioned the players there. Spittle and Blair's the one that I would be using for differential. Spittle's other one went to Hearts. Feel I'm seeing this every team. I mentioned a player that's joining Hearts, but he is. So their Hearts squad's going to be quite big next year. Ideally, they finish bottom six again for fantasy-wise, and then we maybe can play with these players. If they do scrape top six, I think that'll be a team you'd be targeting because I don't think they're that strong. Not trusting defence-wise, I went Ghent a couple of weeks back because he was playing. As soon as I bring him to the team, his minutes has been limited, so he's a kind of fire on my team already. Blair's been good for him. I mean, he's obviously the easiest move from if you're still Miowski or something like that. But apart from the names you mentioned, there's nothing there really fills me with optimism to bring into the team, and it'll just be kind of avoid or use his bench tricks until split, basically.
Mm-hmm. Donny, what's your thoughts on Motherwell?
Well, thankfully, the way the podcast panned out, we didn't have to talk about them beating Rangers 2-1, so that was a good one. But it's the same names. I guess Devlin in defence on loan from Rangers is somebody else that you could throw in there as a budget defender. But Spittle Bear is the two that you'd be looking at. I think Motherwell, well, they'll tend to play the same whether they're top six or bottom six, so you probably can put a bit more trust in them. But I don't think they will move top six. So I think Spittle, you know, I've seen a lot of teams that I've had on this last few weeks and got good returns. I don't have him. I can't bring him in anytime soon, but he's just been there all season and he'll probably be in the top 10 overall when it comes to the end of the season. So certainly good value for there. But there's nothing else other than Spittle Bear and maybe a defender for Motherwell.
Yep. Next up then, we've got Dundee, who face St Johnstone. They've got, has it been confirmed as the double game with Motherwell and Rangers?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then Aberdeen before the split. Another team to potentially battle with Hibs for top half. They'll probably likely flip Hibs if they can win against St Johnstone, because obviously Hibs are going to be playing Rangers, which we would assume Rangers would win. Obviously, it's not a complete given, but if we're kind of thinking about the odds. Players to target, obviously Luke McCowan. He's on penalties. He's managed to score 4 goals out of the last 5 games. He does really seem to be the only standout option. The defence haven't been as good as perhaps earlier in the season. Beck, obviously, been injured, but other than when he has been playing, he has been quite quiet. And then strikers-wise, there's not really been any sort of consistency. Bakayoko was an option a while ago, but he's been very, very quiet recently. Again, a team much less appealing if they do manage to finish in the top half, but perhaps ones to consider if they finish in the bottom. So the next 3 fixtures, or the next 3 game weeks, sorry, will be a good opportunity to try and keep tabs on them and see which players are standing out other than Luke McCowan. Donny, I'll come to you first this time. What do you reckon about Dundee?
Yeah, so they've definitely punched above their weight this season. I didn't fancy them to do well at all. So to be within touching distance of top 6 has to be commended. I don't think they'll make it. I think Hibs maybe got enough whilst they play Rangers. I mean, I guess Dundee have still played Rangers as well, so that would cancel each other out. But they've had value. There is questions about Beck. For me, he's just offered nothing since he came back at January there. I think it's McCowan and McGowan in terms of the midfielders. I think those are the 2 names that probably stand out the most over recent weeks. And if you've got one of them, then you probably have got enough Dundee players in your team for my liking, even with a double, because that double includes Rangers. So I would just, you know, keep easy on Dundee.
Yep. Peter?
Yep, I can even the 2 names, midfield, McCowan and McGowan. That's the 2. If you've got them, keep them. If you've got any Dundee assets to your team who are playing, you're not going to sell them out after the double. I know it's Rangers, but you've got to play the fixtures. I've been saying, take your chances, see what happens. And ideally, again, a team, as Donny said, they've punched above their weight. They've done well this season. If they finish bottom 6, I don't know if we could use that term on the beach with this team, because they've really nothing to play for. I don't know how it would work, but I've not really backed them this season. It's probably one of the things I've hit myself in the head with. I had Beck the first half of the season, and I've kept him too long now. He's injured, but I'll question that later. And I never really filled myself team up with the 2 midfielders. I never went down that road, and I missed out a lot of points when it was right in front of you there. So, son, that's a lesson learned. So watch me go on him now at the end of the season, and he does nothing. But next season, it'll be good to see how they got on in the builder squad, because they had a big squad as well. They haven't had quite a lot up front. We used to say Bakayoko was there at the start. He's added quite a few strikers, so it obviously affected his minutes. So, as Donny said, apart from the 2 midfield, maybe Shaughnessy is a replacement. If I get him for Beck, apart from that, I wouldn't be double, trebling up at this stage of the season.
Yeah. So that's the bottom half currently. On to the top half, coming at number 6. We've got Hibs. They'll face Rangers next, and then it's St Johnstone and Motherwell. Obviously, we're all been looking at Hibs closely, considering they had a recent double game week. I was between Marcondes and Melida, so I went Marcondes, and naturally Melida scores 4 out of the last 5 games. Eli Ewan, also striker at Hibs, he's managed 4 assists in the last 5, so probably prefer Melida just because, obviously, more points for a goal. Defensive-wise, they've had 2 clean sheets in the last 3. Obviously, not a huge stat, but few teams in the league are defensively consistent at present, so you've kind of got to take what you can get. And again, they're still motivated. They'll be battling top half. So they've got, you could get some goals there against St Johnstone, and then perhaps a good game against Motherwell as well. Players to consider, obviously, Melida already mentioned. If you do want to consider a defender, Obita, he is 2.7 million. He's served Peter well. You've also got Rocky Bashiri at 2.8 and Fish at 3.1 as well. I probably wouldn't be looking at doubling down, but perhaps a dabble with one of them could serve you well. But I'll come to you first this time, Peter. What's your thoughts on Hibs? Are you going to stick with Obita as well?
Well, I've travelled up right now for the double, so the Blue Rangers next. But after just a couple of decent fixtures, so I'm probably going to just use the bench him this week, keep the hold of him, and then if they finish top six, then maybe phase him out. Obita is actually only 2.6 million, Tom. He's not 2.7, so he's even cheaper. And his goal the weekend was obviously great for my rank. My leader up front, I like, but again, it's a situation where we've got a lot of strikers to pick from. Can you squeeze them all in? If he finished bottom six, maybe keep him because he's only 4.4. If he's top six, probably on the books, a chalk block. And Marcondes looks good. I think Hibs looked like, I've seen this before, they've turned a corner. He looked like he windowed done in January window quite well. He's bought players in who have actually changed the way they play and look good. And I think as a team, you can be targeting for the couple of games. They look like they're playing better than they have been. I wouldn't worry about this game at the weekend. It's Rangers, so you don't take on it out of the equation. The game's after the fact. I think Hibs are a team you can kind of maybe start to rely on for now for running the name you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And Donny, what's your thoughts on Hibs?
No, definitely. They've timed this patch of form pretty well. They're unbeaten in the last five games, and that includes three wins. And you can't say that over the first half of the season. I think they were struggling for form, and we talked about whether the manager should stay or not. So they've done well. Hopefully that doesn't continue at the weekend because they're playing Rangers. But again, a lot of us is loaded up. I brought in Fish, Marcondes and Malida in the same game week. And overall, they definitely outperformed what I was expecting. I will look to offload. Hibs is a team that you'd probably rather finish in the bottom six because if they're top six, they'll have Rangers, Celtic and Hearts to play, which is all big fixtures, which might be just a bit of a stretch. So then they've only really got two viable fixtures outside of that. So for me, it would be better if Hibs finished in the bottom six, but form suggests they will finish in the top six. And the names that we've mentioned are the names in form. That's what you should be looking at.
Yep. Number five, then, we have St Mirren, who face Motherwell, Hearts and Celtic. So, not the best of fixtures running up to the split. They also got recently hammered 5-2 off Kilmarnock, so recency bias there as well. Don't really want to go near St Mirren. They're also likely to finish in the top half. I think for St Mirren to finish in the bottom half, Dundee need two wins and St Mirren need to lose all three games, and that would make them even on points. And then I think the goal difference is -1 for St Mirren versus -10 for Dundee, so I think it's fairly likely they'll finish in the top half. So I'd say St Mirren are a complete avoid. If you were wanting to consider a player, Mandron's the form player. But then again, which striker would you remove from your team to get in Mandron? I don't think it's a move anyone really wants to make, but it's there if you want it. I'll come to you first this time, Donny, on St Mirren. What's your thoughts?
It's a team we've talked highly about over the course of the season, but other than the start of the season, we've never really committed to any of their players, which is a shame. They are only 2 points off of fourth spot, which would get them into Europe, but if you just look at those run of fixtures, Hearts away, Ross County Homes and Johnston away, no, not Hearts away, Motherwell away, Hearts at home, Celtic away. So Hearts and Celtic, it's going to be a big ask for them to try and get that fourth spot. They'll be happy to finish in the top six. They're going to get some good fixtures out of it. Again, like Dundee, probably exceeded expectations. Name-wise, there's no standouts other than, like, I would say O'Hara, and he's back in the mix, and you know, somebody takes penalties. But as good as they are, they just don't tick the box for fantasy football. Actually, nobody that I would really say, yeah, I want them in my team ahead of even the bottom six. You know, McCowan, McGowan, you'd sooner have one of those in your team than a Sunderland player. But a team that's performed well over the season, so fair play to them.
Mm-hmm. Peter, what's your thoughts on St Mirren?
Yeah, pretty much agree with Donny. It's a team we've praised highly throughout the season, but they're a weird team. And there's not, I think I had Hara for spells, but obviously he went quiet through the season, injured and come back. Mandron's the one, but as you mentioned yourself, Tom, there's lots of striker options, and do you really go down that route? And again, it probably falls the same kind of situation as Hibs, a cheap striker, but if they finish the top six, which they will finish top six, are you going to trust them to score goals against the other top five teams? Really, really hard. I had a wee quick look at the teams of top 10, 20, and it was very, very little, if any, St Mirren coverage, so it kind of shows you yeah. Most managers are thinking the same. There's no standout. They're a good functioning team, but as Donny said, fantasy-wise, it's not. There's no great standout player. They're a better team than their individuals, so it's a kind of no for me.
Coming in at number four then, we've got Kilmarnock. They have fixtures against Hearts, Ross County and St Johnstone. They're sitting good at number fourth there, guaranteed top half. It is a bit of a tough ask for them to reach Hearts, who are obviously at third with 11 points difference there. They do face each other in the next fixture, so perhaps they could close the gap, which may then spur things on a little bit for them. But I can't help but feel that perhaps they may just lose a little bit of motivation. They do still need to retain top four, and I think top four, will that at least give them some European qualifiers to play in? So they still have to retain that, so there is still something to play for there. They're not yet on the beach. If you are wanting to consider some players, then obviously Vassell and Armstrong are the two form players just now, particularly with that, as we mentioned there, the 5-2 win against St Mirren. Vassell, Armstrong, Marley Watkins and all, he could be a player to consider. But they do face Hearts next. So that is if you don't have any Kilmarnock players, it is an opportunity to kind of sort of just kind of observe them again, just to kind of see how they are, particularly after the international break, and can then perhaps maybe make a decision after that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Leading up to the Ross County and the St Johnstone games. But Peter, what's your thoughts on Kilmarnock?
Great season. I think they've been motivated. They've been really good to have seen them. They've gave Celtic plenty of problems this year on plenty of different fronts. I remember halfway through the season, I said, I'm going to bring in Danny Armstrong and keep him at the end of the season, and it's paid off dividends because it just ticks along nicely. There's last week, another 11 points. He's going nowhere, even after the split. I think I'll just keep him in my team because he's on set pieces, not potential penalties as well. He's a bonus point magnet. He's in, he's staying in that team. I think he's going to get a hell of a price rise next year, I believe. So I'll enjoy it while I can. As you said, Don, thoughts there, Tom. European football firms money in each position in the league. I think it's an extra £100,000 for a team like Kilmarnock. That's a lot of money for next year's investment. I think Derek McGuinness will be really motivated to finish fourth. I don't know, they won't catch Hearts, but I think they'll finish fourth for next year. I think they're a team. I wouldn't rely on them, wouldn't double up, treble up. I think you can go for one, you said, for sale, but I think the standout player is Danny Armstrong. That's what I'd be getting my team if you don't have him.
Mm-hmm. Donny, anything to add on that one?
No surprise. That's exactly what I would have said. So I think Kelly have definitely been one of the teams this season. To be where they are and have the runs that they've had against Rangers and Celtic has done them well. But Armstrong is probably enough for me, because once you start double or treble in a team with the top six, you then have to look at the fixtures that they're going to have. So Armstrong's enough for me out of that team. The names that you've mentioned up front, they are value. Mayo at the back's had a good season, if you want to look there. But again, Armstrong's a perma hold for the rest of the season. So that's Kilmarnock.
Mm-hmm. Third then, as we mentioned, Hearts. They face Kilmarnock, St Mirren and Livingston. Shanklin's the obvious form player. You're not doing too well if you don't have Shanklin in your team. It's worth noting that George Grant took a penalty while Shanklin was still on the pitch. He's a 4.3 million midfielder. He also assisted the goal in the last game, which Oda scored. So he could be a player to watch. They have managed two clean sheets in the last five, which was against Celtic and Motherwell. And the other teams that they played were Hibs, Rangers and County. So perhaps you would expect them to concede again in a derby game, and then obviously against Rangers as well. So they do have good defensive form there as well. And I would be considering them at least up until the split. Cochrane probably being the most obvious option there, or even Clark in goals. Donny, what's your thoughts on Hearts?
I think Hearts have offered good value all season. Their defence, a problem in previous years, has stood firm. I think they're second for clean sheets after Rangers. So definitely at the back, there's value. And obviously Shanklin is the main man up front. He does seem to have gone quiet in recent weeks. But the Kilmarnock St Mirren Livy, you would expect him to kick on from there. He's obviously got a Scotland place that he would like to hold on to. I think you probably keep Shanklin for the rest of the season, depending on when the Rangers and Celtic games come after the split. There is an argument that you could drop him if they were back-to-back and bring him back, but he's too good to leave out, I think. So you stick with him. Midfield probably is the weakest area, because even if you do go for Grant, he's not one of those guys that attracts points. He would only be on penalties. And then there's nothing to say that Shanklin doesn't take the penalty anyway. So for me, it would be defence and up front that you look at, and just stick with that. I think Hearts have done really well this season. Certainly from a Rangers point of view, we've managed to batter them once or twice.
And use our ground stick over the top of it.
Have you seen how they've got the Cup semi-final tickets going on tomorrow, and they've put a big post on Twitter saying, for the badge? It's sad. It's cringeworthy. It really is.
I know. Do you know, just a point, it happened a couple of years ago. They didn't kick up a fuss then. They kicked up a fuss this
time. Surprise,
surprise. Me, Tom, for Hearts?
Yep, go for it.
Shanklin's, as Donny mentioned, must stay into the season. I think Shanklin's fixture proof. I think he scores against Celtic and Rangers. I think he could just easily have him in their team. He's playing for a European place. Donny stole my start. I did notice the second best clean sheet record in the league. I had that one, wrote down, but that's gone now. But what I would say is, after the split, it depends on the fixtures fall. I mean, ideally, in an ideal world, they would play Celtic Rangers the first two games.
Yeah.
And then you can kind of pile on them for another three games. But it's not going to land that way. You probably have a game in between, which makes it kind of awkward. So I would see the fixtures land first. If you get a run of three games without playing Celtic Rangers, then ideally you'll bring a defender in. But if they're in there with the title race going to the wire, looks at it. So I would be not so keen on a defender with two games against the top, other top two, obviously. But Shanklin's a must stay into the season.
Yep. Coming in at second, then we've got Rangers. They face Hibs. Then they've got a double game week of Celtic and Dundee, and then Ross County before the split. Obviously, Taverniers in everybody's teams, and he's currently perma-captain. Next best after that, I'd probably say Dessers, with his four goals in the last five. And then the third Rangers spot is a bit of a tough one for me. Suter is amongst the goals and assists. Less clean sheets recently for Rangers, though, only two out of the last five. And then I think the best midfielder spot is a tough one to call. Diamandi's been doing quite well, but I think he does sit a little bit deeper. And then Lawrence has got some recent form as well. But his position could be under threat with if Cantwell's going to return soon. So I'd be interested to hear what you guys have got to say. Peter, what's your thoughts on the Rangers team and that elusive third spot?
Just surprised Kate and me first. I just go to the last comment. With the season coming to the wire, Rangers going for the title, I'm going to triple up on both of them now because I think it's not a great time and I think it's a must. They're going to play every game like a cup final. I'm going to get Tavernier, everybody else has. I've got Butland, so that's my two Rangers defence. So I will be looking forward to hear Donny's comments next with third up. I'm not as high on Dessers with the rotation, so I don't like him. The minutes been managed, so I think it's a no-brainer if you've not got treble Rangers to go for it. A double game week coming up. They'll be favourites for the derby at home, obviously, because it's a home game, I would say so. So that makes them favourites. And they're going for the title. I think you've got to go for treble up. I've went for double at the back. I think that's safe. It's the first spot I'm thinking about, and I'll let Donny comment on that. But as I'll load the game, I think if you haven't got three players, it's time to get the three players in.
Yep. Donny, on to you next. And who's your three players?
No pressure. It feels like ages since Rangers last played. It was that Motherwell game, obviously the Dundee game being cancelled. They had the European adventure with Benfica come to an end. I think we could be quite proud of what they achieved in Europe this season. So the team itself, a lot of injuries in certain positions, and I don't really know the true extent of where they are at the moment. We've got players on international duty as well. Just on the Dessers front, I'm actually sold Dessers, and I think I'm quite happy with that decision. I don't think he would have played that Dundee game had it been played that day. I think it would have been Silva. We've actually got Roof, who is fit and will get minutes, and I think he will come on at the end of a lot of games to give the other two game time. If Cantwell is back and he is fully fit, I would put all my money on him just because I like him. He's that kind of flair player. If you want to play safe and go for guys that will get minutes in every game, then Lundstrom, Diamandi will get you 4 or 5 points with the passing bonus and things like that. Double defence. I mean, I've got Sterling in my team because I was trying to pull a fast one. He was another one that was injured, although he is coming back. Ridvan got injured on international duty just this last weekend, so he could be a doubt, although he does say he'd try and be fit for the Celtic game, so just be wise to that one. It's difficult because they've got Celtic play twice, so if you do double up in defence, you know, just be mindful that they do have those games. But in terms of what you said, when it comes to Celtic as well, they're both going to be gunning just to get wins after wins and try and bag as many goals as possible. So if I was to look for three Rangers players, I would want Tavernier, I would want a defender, I would have Cantwell, I would have Lawrence in my sights, and I would have Dessers, Diamandi. And there are two Dessers. If you do have them, you're just going to have to think that he might not play. And he could come on and score, or he could start a game and miss a hatful of chances. He's just that type of player. You'll get lucky some weeks, you'll miss out in others. But I sold him. I'm happy with that. It's not a reflection on how I think Rangers will be between now and the end of the season, because I think we will win these next four games and get back to top spot. But it's going to be the Celtic games that are going to decide this title in my eyes. And we have to be really up for that, and we need our best players. And for me, like the Cantwell,
Tavernier, and well, Deathers is probably the main ones there. So good luck. I think we do need to triple up on Rangers, especially for the double game week, even though it's an Old Firm in there, and just go for it. And fingers crossed to do you well.
You didn't say we watched on that third spot, Dory. You were giving it to flip flop, but how far away is Cantwell? We know.
He played part of the Benfica match.
Well, he's so fit,
he'll be fit. It's just sharpness. So I don't know if he'll start the Hibs match or again he'll come on. But I think come the Celtic game, you probably would want him, maybe Anne Lawrence, in there and play with one forward. I think Dessers actually starts the Old Firm match because he will pull defenders and sort of try and drag other players into central roles. But he's just a frustrating watch.
I know he is.
We're away to talk about Celtic, and I prefer their centre-forward partnership to ours at the moment. But, you know, you just got to trust your team and hope that they do well.
Right, Tom?
Yep. That then leaves us with Celtic sitting top of the table. They face Livingston Rangers and St Mirren. Their form's not been great, and it is kind of difficult to kind of nail down your three players amongst the squad if we kind of go position by position. Up front, we've got Kyogo versus Ida for the striker role. There's no sort of clear option at present. They've kind of been rotated. If we're looking at the last five games, Kyogo has 2 goals and 1 assist. Ida has 3 goals, so both similar kind of form. Recently, though, it was Kyogo that did start. Midfielder-wise, O'Reilly's been quiet recently. He has chipped in with 3 assists in the last 5, but given his form earlier in the season, you'd be expecting more sort of consistent returns. Maier has just had 1 goal in the last 5, and then Yang, a couple of assists. He also had that red card as well. If we're going by the most recent game, Kuhn got a goal and an assist. It transpires he's been playing, but he's not been fully fit. So perhaps now that he's kind of back to full fitness, he needs to be considered as well. And then looking at the defence, they've managed 0 clean sheets in the last 5 games. However, Rodgers does seem to be utilising the left and right back position. Greg Taylor has 1 goal and 3 assists in the last 5, and Johnston has 2 assists, so Greg Taylor does seem to be a reasonable option as well. I'll come to you first this time, Dory. What's your thoughts on the Celtic squad?
I'm liking that leaky defence strat. It sounds good ahead of an Old Firm, although we're not much better. I think, you know, they're top of the league because they've played a game more, but their form has been patchy. That Hearts game, you could see that result coming. Hearts ran them ragged for the 90 minutes, despite that penalty at the start. But I don't know, like, you guys will probably know better than me, but I think Kyogo will get the start for the next 2 games. I think Rodgers will want to go into that Rangers game with Kyogo and Mieda playing up top, of Mieda out wide and Kyogo through the middle, because that's typically where you get success against Rangers. So I think Kyogo starts this next game with a view to playing the Rangers game the week after. So there is a question on that, and that would be my answer, is to go for Kyogo for the next couple of games. I'm in touch with Woody Blanks, and I'd be quite happy with that. But I think he's got a good record against Rangers, and that game on the horizon, that'd be my thinking. I think O'Reilly, although he's quiet, his form suggests that you just hold him between now and the end of the season. There's not really any better alternative. If you've got a midfield that's got O'Reilly, Armstrong, Spittle, you know, a Cantwell, a McCowan, that's probably going to be enough between now and the end of the season. As you said, defence is probably an area to stay away. Although they do tend to get assists, but without any clean sheets, you're better off just, you know, going further down the league and freeing up your money. But it's going to be, you know, a white knuckle round between now and the end of the season. Both teams are going to want to win. Both teams are going to want to score a lot of goals. And, you know, it'll just be a case of who's the bravest at the end of the day. It comes out on top. Hopefully it's my team, but history suggests it might not be, so I'm not going to get too excited for the next couple of weeks at least. Give myself an out just in case it blows up in my face. But
it's Peter Clipsett.
Yeah, as I say, they're top of the league, but their form still isn't great. I mean, you're Celtic fans, you'll probably be able to put a bit more meat in the bones. So go for it.
Peter?
Form hasn't been great overall, but I thought the form in the last two or three games looked much better, so you take that if you will. Again, I'm going to caveat that with the same as I say to the Rangers. I think you now need to get three players on your team. Does it matter if they play each other? They're going to be out to try to hammer everybody else, get points on the board, goals in the four column. So that's my intention. It's been 6 months for the end of the season. A couple of points there. You did mention Greg Taylor. He's the second highest defending scorer last 4 games behind Tavernier. As Tom mentioned, he looks quite good for an assist. So I don't trust the clean sheets because they're quite leaky, but if he's a player you would go for at the back. And you both said Matt O'Reilly's been quiet, but Matt O'Reilly's a top midfielder in the last 4 games. Yeah. So he's not been that quiet. I think we're just maybe thinking back to when he was scoring goals for fun at the start of the season. With the question at Ida, I'm the same as you, Donny. I think Kyogo's now in a bit of form, he's in a team, and it's no coincidence that Kyogo's form has in turn happened with Nicholas Kuhn finding form on the right hand side. When he came, I thought it was a busted flush, he had dental problems, he lost a stone, I don't know if you know that, and he was in play, but he's now back to full fitness and he's looked absolutely fantastic on the right hand side, and he's got that kind of pass that maybe Jota was having last year and Kyogo was getting the end of now, like the finding space. So I think you could easily invest in three. Mattarelli's one I'm keeping. I think Hugo with my transfer in this week. I think Donny alluded as well. Obviously, he's got a good record against Rangers. I wouldn't bother me playing against Rangers. I think he could still score. And Kuhn or Maeda is the third option, I think, is pretty standard or pretty decent for the end of the season. I'm going towards Kuhn. He's only 5.1 million.
Is Maeda forward in the game?
Maeda forward in the game. That's the thing. So as good as Maeda is, you would take up another spot, and I think you'd be better with Kyle Watt there. But Kuhn as 5.1 midfielder, who I think if he plays in this form will be pretty much nailed, is the one I'd be going for over a defender. And like Donny said, it'll be a case of now just the end of the season. Every game week, they're going to be going for it, so I would be captain and vice-captain, so we just play through the end of the season, depending on who's at home.
Sounds good. That concludes the league table, form and fixtures.
There you go. I wish I kept that good thing to myself so nobody else has got it. I think people saw the last game are going to start moving on him for his cheapness. Right, that is that finished. So we'll go to a couple of questions and then we'll get our fixtures in and get it wrapped up. So let me get to mine. Right, so a lot of these questions we have answered throughout the pod, so we'll just kind of brush over them quickly again. So we'll get FPL Liga first. Best Beck replacement. So a couple of you, Donny, just overall best Beck replacement. It doesn't specify Dundee, so I think anywhere.
Yeah, so Sean is say if you want to make the most of the double, outside of that, maybe Hearts. I don't have any Hearts defense. I would maybe look to Hearts, second best defensive team in the league.
Tom?
Yep, Hearts, Cochrane. If he's already got Hearts, then I think probably next best would be Obita. After that Rangers game, St Johnstone and Motherwell's not bad. Other than that, there's few teams that are sort of defensively consistent. You can't even rely on Celtic and Rangers just now, so you're kind of going to have to maybe consider the more attacking players. If he does have the funds, I do like Greg Taylor as a defensive option, particularly with Livingston and St Mirren before the split.
Right, my answer, if he wants to stick with Dundee, it would be Shaughnessy for a double, Obita and Cochrane, like Tom mentioned as well. And again, any of the Rangers centre-backs for a double, if you trust clean sheets. Because you've also, I'm assuming everybody's going to have Tavernier, so I'm not going to mention that. Goldstein or Suter. Suter's pretty nailed now. Donny, he's the one. There's two of them now, you think?
Yeah, I think so, between now and the end of the season.
Right, next up is Mel Stars 4. He is one of the participants still left in the Royalty Rumble, so he's flying high this season. So his question is, should I wildcard now to prepare for the final double game week? That's the first part. Donny's shaking his head, so that's a no. Tom, would you wildcard now?
I still have my wild card. I'm not planning on using it this game week. I think it's up my sleeve for next game week. I think we've had the international break, so there's kind of that lull. This game week will give us an opportunity to see what players have momentum or what teams have lost their momentum. And after this game week, we'll kind of have a better idea of kind of how the final table looks before the split. We'll have a bit more information on that. So I think maybe next game week is probably the one to do it.
You're going to use a wild card on the Old Firm game? The game after, maybe?
Yeah, that's brave.
Well, Rangers have a double anyway, so you can get your three Rangers in and just look at the Dundee game, and then your Celtic game is just a bonus.
It is a bonus. I'm glad you see it that way.
Well, in terms of returns, if they get something, it's a bonus. But like, it's not just.
I see your thing. It is. This seems a bit.
And then with Celtic, you still fancy them to come out and try and get some goals. Rangers' defence hasn't been great. Two clean sheets in the last five. So there's opportunities to score there as well. And plus, with so many teams at the bottom of the league that you're probably not even considering touching, plus St Mirren, who I wouldn't consider touching, you're going to have to get 15 players anyway. So may as well.
Okay, we'll watch that with bated breath, see how that works out. Same part of the question is, ANZ News, i.e. Beck and Carson. I don't know anything about Carson, so you can fill me in a minute if you do that, but I believe Tommy Docherty said Beck is out between 6 and 8 weeks, so I think that pretty much all but rules him out for the season. I don't see him coming rushed back because he's not their own player. Carson, anything about Carson into the news?
No, I didn't even know he was injured.
There you go. Just keep an eye on the pressers leading up to the game and see if it happens. Next up is a multiple questions from Felix, who is at Falcon de Lasic. I can't pronounce his second name, so we've picked quite a lot of these. We've seen quite a lot, so I'm just going to quick fire them to the end of the season. What goalkeeper would you pick, Donnie?
Butland, Clark, Wickens are made of. So covers you top of the league, bottom of the league, budget, premium. Those are the best keepers in the game.
Tom?
It depends on who finishes top and bottom.
For me, answers, Tom.
This is meant to be quick fire, Tom.
Oh, sorry. I'll say top half Clark and bottom half Marshall if Hibs finish bottom half.
Right. Next up is formation. I'd agree with both all your names I mentioned there. Formation, my formation would be the same as I've said pretty much all season. Stick with three at the back. I think there's not a lot of points in there. And maybe use a very strict player. Donnie, agree? Disagree?
Absolutely. Three at the back. You'll still have defenders on the bench. If they do get points, they'll come on. Assuming you're playing the bench trick. And three up front, because those are where the points tend to be made. So 3-4-3, and then you get your best player. Fill in a gap at some point.
Sorry,
yep, exactly the same. Three at the back, bench trick.
Best to spread between top, bottom, to, sorry, between top and bottom six, or okay, everyone one or the other. We kind of covered that throughout the thing. I think we said avoid pretty much all the bottom three teams. Depending on where teams finish, you can kind of go in heavy on them or not. Any else to add to that, Tom?
No.
Just
what we've mentioned.
Donnie, anything else
if you've got three Rangers, three Celtic, then there's not that much spaces left. So that would be the way to look at it.
Right. Front two or front three, Shankland and whom? So we both said that we would go for the three up top because of that where the points come from. Shankland and whom? So right now, got your head, two other strikers versus Shankland. Who would you go for, Donnie?
Kyogo and Dessers. I have neither, but that would be my choice.
Tom?
Say Shankland, Kyogo, and Malida after the Rangers game.
That's exactly what I would go for. I'm not trusting Dessers' minutes. I just think he's going to be dedicated too much. I think he'll score plenty of goals. I hate seeing that team news when he's not playing.
That's why I don't have him.
That's why I got him as well. Exact same reason.
Well, I like Dessers, but you guys put me off this pod. So
it's not. I think he scores plenty. He has plenty of returns. I just think he's awkward to watch.
Yeah, he's frustrating.
When he's not always going to guarantee the 90 minutes, I just think there's players out there who play 90 are just maybe as effective. Right, pick of the Old Firm midfield, so I'm just going to assume he wants one of each. Tom, one Rangers midfielder, one Celtic midfielder.
For Celtic, I'm going to say take a punt on Kuhn. And for Rangers, Cantwell if he's fit.
Sorry?
O'Reilly and a fit Cantwell.
I'm saying I would go for Kuhn to be differential to the end of the season, and I would go for a fit Cantwell, and if not Cantwell, I'd go for a guaranteed minutes in Lundstrom. That's the two. And he's question six, bench quality or bench warmers, and I'm going to go first here. I think if you go down the route of try to get six Celtic Rangers players, it will be bench warmers because your budget's going to be finding it hard to stretch to get quality on your bench. Donny?
Well, I've said the opposite. I think at this time of the season, you've probably got enough in the bank that you should be able to get a decent 15. So I've got a semi-decent bench, I guess, would be my
somewhere in between.
Answer. Yeah.
Tom?
Yeah, I'd say somewhere in between. Particularly with the defensive issues amongst most teams, you kind of want to kind of spread it amongst different teams to try and sort of maximise your chances of a clean sheet, considering very few teams are actually consistent. You want to try and catch them with the bench trip.
Okay. And the last question is from FPL Showroom. What to do with Ida? I think we'll cover this as well. And I would say you've got to sell him now, I think. I think he's comes in at minutes, so they're at risk. And if you're going down the route of getting three Celtic in, he's too much risk to have in that team, because I think Kyogo's going to be nailed if he's fit. So any disagreements, Dory?
No, that's exactly what I'll be doing this weekend. I'll be going to Kyogo.
Tom?
Yeah, Kyogo for me.
Okay, that's that finished with. So we will get the fixtures read out, and we will do our captain, vice captain, and transfer. So I think we've pretty much said what we're doing already there in that last segment, but let me load up. Right. On Tom, I'd just like to apologize. It's saying 2.7 for a beta now on my app. When you get on his page, it says 2.6, so that's a little malfunction in the app there. So apologies, Tom.
Right. That's okay.
So we will have 5 games on the Saturday, 3 p.m. kickoffs. So you're going to see all the teams, and you won't see Livingston Celtic on Sunday, but I think you can pretty much guess Celtic's team now for the end of the season. That's not going to change much. But anyway, we've got St Johnstone Dundee, Rangers Hibs, Motherwell St Mirren, Hearts Kilmarnock, Aberdeen and Ross County, and then Sunday at Livingston and Celtic. So upon hearing those fixtures, Tom, what is your captain, vice-captain and transfer plans?
Yeah, Captain Tavernier. Vice captain, I'll probably vice captain Dessers if he starts, because I've got him. That's if I've not moved him to Kyogo. Transfer, I don't know. I think either Spittle or Kuhn.
Okay. Donny, same question yourself?
I'll probably make 2 transfers, which, okay, it'll cost me a -4, but I will bring in Kyogo. And I will bring in a fit Cantwell. If not, I'll see what the lineup is. Captain Tav, I didn't actually write a vice captaincy name down, but I think I've talked myself into Kyogo as vice captain. So there you go. I'll put my faith in him.
Yep, that's pretty much my transfer as well. I'm going to captain Tav. I will vice captain Kyogo, who'll bring in this week for Mayorski. If I could see the Celtic team, I might have went for a -4 and took out McCondes and brought in Kuhn. But I think I can wait maybe to, I might go for a punt in the Rangers game, or I might just wait to the week after and then go for that. So I think that's how I'm going to work it. Right, that is us then. So we will be back next week. I promise you, we will be back next week. My laptop's fine and working. But the week after, I won't be here because I am in Greece. So I know Peter's jet set the world, but that's the way it is. So guys, get your plugs in before we go. Donny?
I am at @FFS_Donny.
And Tom?
I'm at @FFS_Scout.
And just a quick reminder that the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup is opened. 32 are maxing it, so there's 29 places left because we three are out. 28 maybe if Tom's dad's playing, because I always forget about Tom's dad. And that is us. You can find me at Fantasy Half. And thanks for listening. See you next week. Goodbye. Say goodbye, guys.
Right. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.